morning. Thank you for inviting us here again. It's always a nice time to come and see all of you and also see some of my family that lives in this area. You know, sometimes it's a trial to be with them, but no. No. It's all good, but it's good to be here. Hopefully this morning, as we look into the Word, it'll be an encouragement to all of us as to the faithfulness, the goodness, and the power of God. And I want to look at Joshua 1 through 9 this morning. Now, all of us face all kinds of decisions every day, circumstances, trials. And often those things that we face every day are accompanied with uncertainty, worry, anxiety, all sorts of those things as humans. I don't know what you're going through, you don't know what I'm going through, but we all have things that we're going through. And Joshua in the Old Testament was no exception, was he? In fact, he was given the enormous task, the enormous commission to lead the people of God into the promised land. Pretty incredible task. And so Joshua 1 through 9, and notice that the book begins. Now, it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. It's kind of a strange way to begin a book, isn't it? Talking about someone dying. But it serves the purpose of linking this book, Joshua, with Deuteronomy, the book just previous to it. And in chapter 34 of Deuteronomy, we read of the death of Moses, verses 5 and 6. Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor, but no man knows his burial place to this day. So it links these two books, doesn't it? There's always a reason in Scripture why it says what it says, and of course it's just helping us make that bridge. Before Moses died, Joshua, we know, was designated to be his successor. And in Deuteronomy chapter 31, we see that was the case. In that passage, we learn in Deuteronomy chapter 31 that the servant of the Lord, Moses, as he's described here, would not be the one leading God's people into the promised land. As odd as that may seem, that would be the case. It would be instead the responsibility of and privilege of Joshua. This would fall on him, Moses' assistant. In the book of Joshua, we find Joshua facing the full reality of this commission. And we get the sense that as the book begins here, he's a bit overwhelmed by this daunting task. Moses, his mentor, is no longer with him. This mighty man, Moses. And we get the sense that Joshua was waiting to hear something from God, something to reassure him, something to build him up. And he was not disappointed. He was not disappointed, as we will see here. And I think a lesson from that for all of us is when we take time to listen to God, he will communicate with us. He will speak to us. But we need to be those who are there, available to hear that communication. Now, we know in today's present age, God generally communicates, I'll get it out eventually, with us through his word, doesn't he? Through his written word. However, in Old Testament times, it seems that he spoke through different ways, through dreams, through visions, through the high priest, and occasionally with an audible voice directly to his prophets. And this seems to be the case here, doesn't it? He speaks to Joshua directly. And he says in verse 1, B through 2, that Moses, my servant, is dead. Moses, my servant, is dead. The Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, cross the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them to the sons of Israel. The people, of course, along with Joshua, were grieving the loss of Moses. This was a tremendous loss for the people there. What would they do? What was going to happen to them? This was a true crisis time in their lives. And it's as if God tells Joshua, okay, you've gone through this grieving process. That's fine. That's to be expected. However, you have pondered that perhaps long enough. He is gone. There is no turning back. We can't go back and bring him back. And then the Lord says, you know, let's talk about the future. Let's talk about the future. Let's move on to the challenge and the great blessing ahead. Let's have you get up and cross the Jordan, the land that I am giving you. You know, and something I thought of when I was reading that, as humans, we often like to go back. We find the past more comfortable, don't we? What's already happened, we kind of... And it's okay to go back there, and it's okay to look at things that happened in the past, but I think God would have us push ahead and look to the future. Look to what's ahead, the great challenges and blessings that he has for us ahead. Now, for Joshua and the people, moving on or pushing forward into the future in no way diminished the fond memories of Moses and the severity of the loss of him. If you look at verses 10 through 12 in chapter 34 of Deuteronomy, it says, since that time no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. For all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to perform in the land of Egypt against Pharaoh, all his servants and all his land, for all the mighty power, for all the great terror which Moses performed in the sight of all Israel. There's no doubt that this was going to be a big void, right? It was legitimate that they were missing him. But God, in saying to them, now get up and let's move forward, it wasn't diminishing him in any way. It was really complimenting Moses by directing Joshua and the people toward the goal of entering the land that was promised to them. The land which I am giving them. The land God promised in his covenant, of course, with Abraham. We see that in Genesis 13, 14 through 15. In verses 1 through 3, or 3 through 4 in chapter 1 of Joshua here, every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. So the boundaries are given here for the promised land. This is what would be theirs. This is what God was giving them. Now, in all of that, this was not going to come about in a very easy way, was it? And it's as though God is saying to him, this will not be easy, Joshua. There are going to be struggles. There's going to be conflict on the field of battle. However, there are some things that I want you to understand. That you can expect victory through God's support. I'm going to be there for you. It's not going to be easy, but I'm going to be there for you. So in verse 5, it says here that no one will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. In leading the people into the promised land, no one would be successful in deterring Joshua from this commission with God on his side. He was going to be, no one would be able to stand in his way, God tells him. And just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. Moses obviously had done some amazing things through the power of God being with him. And the battle would no doubt be daunting. There were some very big struggles coming ahead. But God promises that he would be personally and powerfully with Joshua every step of the way, just as he has always been with Moses before him. And then he tells him, I will not fail you. I won't forsake you. And that could be rendered, I will not drop or abandon you in any way. In other words, God never walks out on his promises. God would never let Joshua down. You know, we can be let down by a lot of things, can't we? We, even as friends, have a way of doing that sometimes to our friends and what have you. As human beings, we put trust in people and often it doesn't necessarily come through. But one thing we can be assured of, as Joshua was, God will never abandon us. He will never let us down. Ever, ever, ever. And that's something we can take to the bank because God has promised it in his word here to Joshua, and of course it applies to all of us. He promises the same to us in the midst of all of the circumstances of life. His unfailing presence, his divine power, and help will be with us each and every step of the way. He will never, ever let us down. So flowing from that very strong affirmation that God would never let Joshua down is God's threefold call to be strong and courageous. It's interesting to me that God doesn't call us to be strong and courageous without a basis for it or a reason for it. And we'll look at that here in a second. He tells Joshua three times to be strong, to display strength by being firm, unwavering, resolved, purposeful, and confident. And he tells him to be courageous, to exhibit strength by being alert, determined, brave, and persistent. That's what those two words, the thought behind those two words. And he doesn't tell Joshua to do this just blindly. You know, we're not called to blind faith. We're not called to blindly be strong and courageous. Rather, he calls on Joshua to consider being strong and courageous in light of three very important things that I think we find in this passage. And that's primarily the focus of what I want to look at. And the first thing that we see, he is called to be strong and courageous based on God's promise of the land. It says, be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Joshua is commanded here to be strong, to be confident, and courageous, be determined, because of God's promise of the land. There's no doubt there would be battle ahead. That would take a lot of strength, a lot of fortitude. However, Joshua was to keep foremost in his mind the fact that he would succeed in causing Israel to inherit the land. He would succeed in bringing them into the promised land. And this was because it had been promised to their forefathers. And God, again, never backs out on his promises, does he? His promises are yea and amen, and that's that. And he had promised this to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the entire nation, as an eternal possession. And it's affirmed on several occasions in Scripture as well. Joshua was the one who would lead the children of Israel into the possession of the land of promise. What a strategic role that Joshua would play in this crucial time in history. Joshua. His name means the Lord is salvation, right? It's the Hebrew equivalent of Jesus, who is the captain of our salvation. And we'll talk about that in a minute, in a bit more. So, based on the promise of God, Joshua could be strong and courageous. It's not a baseless expectation then, is it? He could be strong and courageous. We can too. We can go forth with strength and courage because of the promises of God. Joshua was also to consider the power of God's word in the sense of being strong and courageous. It says, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. So a second time, Joshua is commanded to be strong, unwavering, and this time very courageous, very determined, very persistent. And in what? In being careful to obey all the law of Moses. This is a reference, of course, we know, to Scripture. Specifically in this context, Genesis through Deuteronomy, the Pentateuch, which was written by Moses, the law of Moses. This command is based on God's power, then, through his word. And this is an even stronger exhortation because it uses the word very. This, I think, indicates something to us that greater strength of character would be required of Joshua to obey God's word faithfully and fully than to win military battles. To be faithful to God's word, to obey it without reservation, that takes a great deal of strength of character, doesn't it? This passage here speaks of prosperity and success. Now, this is not speaking of financial prosperity and success. God is not promising here that Joshua would be driving a gold-plated chariot driven by five beautiful white horses. This is not what he's saying to Joshua here. It's saying that if Joshua was unwaveringly and persistently obedient to God's word, he would achieve regular victories over his enemies. He would be prosperous and have success. To enjoy prosperity and success and be successful in the conquest of Canaan, Joshua here is commanded or told to do three things with regard to the word of God. Three very important things in regard to the word of God. It was not to depart from his mouth. Notice that. It was not to depart from his mouth. Joshua was to talk about the Word of God. It was something that was to enter his conversations on a regular and consistent basis. Deuteronomy 6:7 says, "You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." The Word of God was to be such a part of his life that it was to enter his conversations. And the question I had for myself, does the Word of God come into my conversations enough? Do I talk about the Word enough? You know, we can talk about all sorts of things. And in our United States of America right now, we can talk about politics till your head blows up. And all the stuff that's going on with that. But does the Word of God come to play in any of it? In our conversations? You know, we have a lot of opinions about a lot of things. The Word of God needs to be central in how we converse with each other. And how we think about things that are going on. So, Joshua was told, you know, be strong and courageous in making sure to not let the word depart from your mouth. He was also told here to meditate on it night and day. Meditate on it night and day. In other words, he was to read it and consider it with thoughtfulness. With thoughtfulness. Think about it. Think about what was just read. Linger over it. Contemplate what it is saying. Reflect on it. Let it soak in. Let it resonate. Let it bounce back, you know? You know, often, I don't know about you, but I can read a chapter of a book and can even do it with the Word of God. And I don't even have a clue what I just read. I've just read 20 pages of a book I'm reading, but I'm not. Well, the Word of God needs to be something that as we read it, it's sinking in, it's speaking to us, it's changing us. And he was told, meditate on it day and night. This verse in Psalm 119:97 really should be our attitude. Oh, how I love your instructions, the Word of God. I think about them all day long. And I challenge myself with that. Is that true? In the course of the day, is the Word of God something that comes into my mind and really changes how I think about things? This is what Joshua was told. Meditate on it. And then he was also told to do everything written in it. In other words, he was to obey the commands of Scripture fully and order his life according to it. Order his life according to it. That's a big, big challenge, isn't it? James 1:22 through 25, do not listen, just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're just fooling yourselves, for if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, you walk away, and forget what you look like. Sometimes that's a good thing in the morning when you first get up. But if you look carefully into the perfect law, which is the word of God, that sets you free, and if you do what it says and you don't forget it, remember, meditate on it day and night, don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Joshua is promised here there would be blessing in obedience to the word, unreserved obedience. So what this tells us here is the word of God has a great deal of impact on what we talk about, what we think about, and what we do. So therefore, it's very important that we follow what the Lord told Joshua here regarding the Word of God. And I think Joshua's life demonstrated that in a very practical way. He lived out. He lived according to the teachings of the law of Moses. The portion of the Word of God that he had available to him at that time, he in a very practical way lived out. And the power of God's Word working in him, therefore, I believe explains the victories he achieved in battle and the success that marked his entire career. It wasn't just by chance. One of the last messages that Joshua had for the nation of Israel before he died, he pleaded with them and urged the people to live in submission to the scriptures. He told them in Joshua 23:6, be careful to follow everything Moses wrote in the book of instruction. Kind of rings of what he was told here, doesn't it? By the Lord himself. Do not deviate from it, turning to the right or to the left. Sadly, however, we know that the people listened to that counsel only for a short time. And we know that in the following generations, they refused to be guided, didn't they, by God's authoritative revelation of himself, and chose to live according to what they thought was right for them. And proof was in the end of Judges 21:25, all the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. Sadly, they didn't take Joshua's very good counsel. And this is a very dangerous and foolish thing to do. It plunged them into centuries of problems. It's always a very foolish thing to feel that we know what's best. We must always allow the Word of God to be our guide and our standard in everything. So he was to consider the power of God's word at work in his life. And I think that's another basis for him to go forward and be strong and courageous. The power of God's word at work. He was also to consider the promise of God's presence. Have I not commanded you? He tells Joshua, be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Wherever you go. This third call to be strong or firm and consistent and courageous, be brave and persistent, is addressed to Joshua, and it's based on the promise of God's presence. God's presence. Now, this didn't minimize the task that was facing Joshua. He would still encounter giants. He would still encounter fortified cities. He would still encounter struggles of all sorts. And I'm sure that there were times when he felt weak. I'm sure there are times when he felt inadequate. I'm sure there were times when he felt frightened. He was human. He was just like us, right? There's no difference. We do the same, don't we? We feel frightened by things. However, Joshua is reminded of something here by the Lord himself. Can you imagine hearing these words from the Lord himself? How incredible that would be. We can, because God reveals himself to us in his word. To actually hear these words, don't be terrified or discouraged, Joshua, about the task that's before you. I will be with you wherever you go. Just think about that for a minute. God's divine and powerful presence would be with Joshua every step of the way. And that makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? Makes all the difference in the world. Just think about that. The powerful presence of God in our lives. The God who is all-knowing, all-seeing, never changing. Nothing ever escapes him. Nothing ever happens without him knowing about it. That one that loves us beyond measure, is promising that his presence is with us continually. That's a great basis for being strong and courageous, isn't it? You know, this assurance has been an encouragement through the ages for everyone who trusts and obeys and serves the Lord. And it is today. Matthew 28, we have some other verses that reiterate this. In Matthew 28, 20, be sure of this, the Lord Jesus says, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. We're never going to let us down. He's never going to walk out the door on us. He's there for us. His presence is there. It also says in Hebrews 13, 5, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. He's not the leaving kind. Heard that in Western, country Western songs maybe. But that's true of our God. He is not the leaving kind. He won't ever abandon us. His presence is with us. These charges to be strong and courageous and the accompanying assurances of God's promises of God's power through his word and his presence are very uplifting, would have been very uplifting to Joshua, and they certainly are to us today, for those who truly believe. They have been in the past for all of those. They are now in the present, and they will be in the future, because they're made by a God who doesn't change. So let's take all of this information now and let's make an application for us right today. For us as believers, we're on a journey, aren't we? We're on a journey. We're not promised that everything's going to be easy. God never promised that. He never said he would take us and remove us from situations that aren't pleasant. But he also has promised that he will always be with us through them. And as believers, we face new struggles every day. We don't know what a new day is going to bring. So it's encouraging to understand that in the midst of all of that, no matter the circumstance, we can be strong, we can be confident and courageous and determined because of God's promise. What is his promise to us? Glory. The promise of glory. The promise that we're going to be with him. That's the ultimate promise, right? That will be ultimately taken to the promised land, which is glory, to be with the Lord forever. We're going to be with the Lord of glory for all eternity as believers. Now, this promise only applies to those who truly believe. For those, and I hope every single person in this room this morning knows for a fact that you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've agreed with God that you're a sinner, and you've received Christ as that one and the only one who can forgive you and cleanse you of your sin, because he's the one who died on the cross for you and for me. I hope everyone's made that. That's the most important decision you'll ever make in life. If you haven't heard anything else we've been saying this morning, put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ. He is the Savior, the only Savior. And for those of us who have put our trust and faith in him, we can be strong. The promise that we will be taken to glory is there for us. No matter what happens, if the worst case scenario happens, humanly speaking, that we're taken that we pass, where are we going? We're going into the presence of God, right? Into the presence of the Lord. But ultimately, if we are here, and it could happen today, the rapture could occur today, the Lord will be the one who will lead us there. He's going to lead us. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God. First, the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. We're just temporary citizens here on this earth, right? Remember the song, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. The treasures I've laid up are somewhere beyond the blue." That kind of says it all. We're just passing through. We're just temporary citizens. Our ultimate destiny is glory, the promised land. And we know that that is a promise set in stone. It's the bliss of heaven. The very literal presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Can you imagine we're going to be in the literal presence of the one who gave himself for us on the cross? And we're going to be in that presence of that one for all eternity. In that, we can certainly be strong and courageous, can't we? It's also encouraging to understand the power of God's Word and the power of living according to it and obeying it. I think we underestimate that sometimes. Yes, we know we should read the Bible and we should obey what it says, but do we really consider the power that's in that? The implications of that? In other words, of making the Word of God of utmost importance in our everyday life, thus influencing everything we are and everything we do. The Word of God. You know, Joshua was in a battle, right? He was in a battle that would lead to ultimately going into the promised land. We are in a battle. We're not only on a journey, we're in a battle. Not a flesh and blood battle. We're in a spiritual battle. A battle against the spiritual forces of wickedness. This is a very real battle. We need to understand that it's a very serious thing. This is not just something that we speak of without a great deal of walking lightly. Satan wants to bring us down. He wants to keep us down. He wants us to fail. He wants us to be defeated. He wants us to live defeated life. He wants to ruin our witness and our testimony. This is the very reason why we're commanded in Ephesians to put on the full armor of God, which represents a life of righteousness. This armor includes, we know, the sword of the Spirit, doesn't it? Which is the Word of God. This is why we're commanded in Ephesians to put on the full armor. There will only be success and prosperity in this very real spiritual battle that we're in, and a resulting fullness of life to those who are strong and unwavering and very courageous, very determined in receiving God's word, obeying it, and living according to it. This is what will give us victory over this, in this real spiritual battle that we're in. It's real. We need to take it serious, and we need to understand the power of God's word to give us prosperity and success, victory over the one who wants to destroy us and bring us down. Greater is he, however, is in us than he that is in the world. So, we can be and must be strong and courageous in receiving, obeying, and living according to God's word. This is the only recipe for success in this very real spiritual battle we're in. And then finally, it's encouraging to understand once again the presence of God in our lives, the real, powerful presence of God. No matter the circumstances, God will never let us down, never will abandon us, no matter what. It's inevitable that we will all have times of discouragement, fear, doubt. However, we can be strong, we can be firm and confident and courageous and brave and persistent in knowing that the Lord is with us wherever we go. He'll never let us down. He will never disappoint us, ever. We can trust him in that. So I hope these words in Joshua this morning, in the commission or the charge to Joshua, can encourage all of us and help us realize the greatness, the goodness of our God and the power of our God and the great love he has for us and the desire he has for us to truly go forth and be strong and courageous in our Christian lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time in your word this morning, and we just ask your blessing on it, and may it all be an encouragement to each and every one of us as we go out from this place today. So we commit the rest of our day to you, giving you our thanks and praise, and thanking you most of all for loving us with an unconditional, unbounded, amazing love. The grace that has been shown us is truly awesome, incredible. And we praise you and thank you and commit all to you in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.